asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing networking to make more money with money pro Jordan Harbinger.
All right, Joel, we are having Jordan Harbinger on, man, and he is big time. And I know that you are very excited about this episode because networking involves a lot of talking. Basically, it's a skill made for people like you who just love to hang out and be around people. You, I would say, are the most extroverted person I have ever met.
I'm pretty much like 100 on the extrovert scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so I'm excited about having Jordan on because I feel like he approaches it in a way that meshes up with how I view networking. And it's something I get jazzed about. But I know most people, they're maybe a little more frightened of networking. And so hopefully we can clear up some misconceptions and help people that don't naturally find themselves to be good networkers. Hopefully this episode can help people find some strategies to become better networkers in their everyday lives. Because ultimately, you might end up making more money. And also, there's a good chance it'll help you progress in your career path a whole lot faster. So I know that I'm kind of an odd bird, Matt, but like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word networking?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, owning my own business, like what I do for work, I can be very isolated in my work and fairly independent in what I do. And I think a lot of people view networking as sort of schmoozy or disingenuous or sort of sales pitchy, right? And including myself, I feel like that I've held a similar view. But honestly, dude, I look back at the beginning when we first started the business and dude, we did a ton of networking. There were so many valuable connections that we made early on that allowed us to just meet other individuals in the industry. It allowed us to learn new skills like really quickly. And on top of that, a lot of our early work was referred to us by some other photographers as well. So for us, it was a key way for us to sort of launch the business. And without it, man, we may not be where we are today.
And Matt, we're going to bring on Jordan for his 5 minutes of wisdom about networking in just a second. But I wanted to let everyone know the beer that we're drinking today. And we drink a beer on every show because we're best buddies drinking a beer talking about money. That's kind of what this whole podcast is about. And so Jake from Texas sent us a Revolver Brewing Blood and Honey American Ale. And we'll tell you what we think of it at the end of the show.
Nice. I think it's only appropriate that a beer sent to us from Texas has the word revolver in it. You know, like a cowboy pistol.
Well, I'm wearing my Spurs for this episode, so I'm ready to dig in.
And I'm wearing the chaps.
So let's tell the listeners just a little bit about Jordan. Jordan Harbinger is the host of the wildly successful podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. He's been podcasting for over 12 years since podcast started. I mean, Jordan was one of the first people on the ball, had a podcast up there formerly called The Art of Charm, and now it's called The Jordan Harbinger Show. And he interviews some of the most interesting people in the world. I don't know if he's interviewed the Dos Equis guy or not, but he interviews a lot of interesting writers, musicians, and change makers, and he tries to find out why they're successful. And so he just asks really good questions, and he's super thoughtful and well-connected. And so we thought he was kind of the perfect money pro to bring on to talk about how networking can increase your income, but also just change your career path.
And if you are a newer listener and you haven't heard our Money Pro episodes yet, every week we bring on a pro and they distill down their knowledge and experience into 5 minutes of wisdom. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and hear from Jordan.
Fellas, thanks for having me on. Today, I want to talk about networking and how it's essentially not an optional skill. It is also the best insurance policy that you can't purchase and is probably the highest leverage skill set that I've ever developed in my life. And I've been an attorney. I worked on Wall Street in finance. I've run a couple companies as an entrepreneur. Now I'm doing the broadcasting and show thing that I've been doing for 12 years here. I'm telling you, these people skills are the highest level of competitive advantage. And when I was a kid, you know, I kind of coasted through school when I was younger. But as I got older, I prided myself on outworking everyone. And that's great. Those are great competitive advantages. However, as you get to higher and higher rungs of performance, the people that surround you, well, networking is a skill that's highly prized and relatively rare as these other competitive advantages melt away. And most people procrastinate with this skill set, which makes it even more rare, right? They say they've got to have their business set up or their website set up. This is a foundational skill set. It is not some sort of add-on or bonus skill set. This is not a to-do list item. You have to dig the well before you're thirsty. Otherwise, you're just being willfully ignorant of the secret game that's being played around you. And fundamentally, there's no difference between networking and making or meeting friends. So you're not going to become this sort of like annoyingly creepy sales guy throwing business cards in people's faces. It's going to be something that is going to stay with you. If you get fired or your business falls apart or becomes illegal or you hit hard times, you're left with yourself, your talent, which is 10% of the equation, even if you're very talented. Your work ethic, which hopefully is pretty high, is going to be another double-digit percentage. But the most leverage you're going to get is going to be who you know and who knows you. So first things first, imagine you get laid off from your job today. Who are the 10 or 15 people that you'd contact to solicit their advice on what to do next? I call this thought exercise layoff lifeline. So you get laid off, your business implodes, whatever. Who are the 10 or 15 people you'd contact to solicit their advice on what to do next? These are your weaker or dormant ties, important relationships that have sort of gone by the wayside. Make that list and then reach out to those people now while you don't have an agenda. You don't need anything specifically. And this means that it's going to be less awkward. People think networking is awkward because they only reach out when they need something. Also, this gets momentum. It ends the cycle of procrastination. People have got 100 things to do. Maybe we're comfortable with 99 of them, you know, working on the website, answering our email, generating leads, whatever, but we're not comfortable with outreach. This will help kick off the rust. And networking and relationship development, this is the one area of your life and your business where you can't make up for lost time. And by the time you need it, it's too late. People will say, I don't need this. I already have a job. What happens when you don't? You can't leverage relationships that you don't have. If you've already got a business of your own, you're not employed by somebody else, well, this is going to be lead gen. It's going to be hiring. It's going to be finding the right people to surround yourself with, finding other entrepreneurs to help you keep you sane, things like that. These skill sets that you're going to get from your network are going to be invaluable. Something I do every day, because consistency, by the way, is much more important than doing this once in a blue moon. Consistency is the key to developing good relationships. Everybody's heard of, you know, getting a cold call, you haven't heard from the person in 2 years, and you're thinking, what does this guy want? If you spend just 4 minutes a day, you're already in the top, I'd say, 1% to 2% of super connectors and connectors here. So one thing I'll do every day is I'll open up my phone's text messaging app, scroll all the way down to the bottom. That's where those relationships are that you haven't, those people you haven't spoken with in 2 years. You had lunch with them once at a conference, never kept in touch, never talked to them again. Reengage 4 to 5 of those people every day, right? All you have to do is send them a little something like, hey, Jim, it's been a couple years since we met at Cafe Gratitude in San Diego. It was fun getting to know you then. I've done a bad job of keeping in touch, but I'd like to change that. What's the latest with you? Would love to hear from you. Signed, Jordan. The reason you put your name is so that they don't think new phone, who dis, or uh-oh, I don't remember this person, I gotta fake it. And the other thing, the other reason you tell them where you met them is so that you can jog their memory. If you re-engage people like this every day, you're spending 3 to 4 minutes per day. You're re-engaging, I don't know, 100-plus people every single month. That is incredible. That's more than most people re-engage in a whole year. Most of those people aren't going to reply or give you an opportunity, but the ones that do, you're going to stay top of mind with a huge group of people, and that's going to be very important. I hope this was helpful. Thanks a lot, guys.
Matt, that was so good. That was like golden networking advice right there, like a big golden nugget that Jordan just laid out for us. And I'm excited for you and I to kind of tease out some of the things that he said in his segment. And we'll get to that right after the break. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah, and here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump into it. I love that he said that this is not an optional skill. Networking, it's not an optional skill. It's He said it's the best insurance policy that you can't purchase. It takes time. It takes being intentional. And you have to be genuine as well. These aren't things that you can just do methodically, right? Like you can go about the mechanics of it methodically, but it does take more thought and heart to actually connect with people.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to network with a robot, right?
But I think it's amazing how he mentioned how networking is his highest leverage skill. But in reality, the facts bear this out. 85% of jobs are found because of networking. And this was on a recent LinkedIn article. So, of course, I would, you know, expect them to say, sure, all the job leads that you're going to get that really amount to anything are going to come from networking. And by the way, that's what we do.
But I think that's anecdotally been true in my life and been true for so many of my friends and family members and people that I know, that landing a job in another company, advancing in their career, so much of that has to do not just with your skills, the skills on your resume, but with the networking that you've done throughout the years. And so I think what Jordan said about people skills being your highest competitive advantage can be incredibly true, right? And so many people are lacking either the people skills or they're just unwilling to do some of the work that it takes to develop and maintain those relationships when it comes to networking. And so networking is just a place where you can completely stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, he mentioned how as a sort of young professional that he outworked people and how it's just tougher to do that at higher levels. And you know, there's always others that can outwork you, that are willing to sacrifice more of their life, more of their personal life, or whatever it is that they're sacrificing in order to get ahead. And so networking involves working smarter. It's not necessarily to work less, but networking allows you to develop a more robust set of skills that you can present in the workplace when it comes to, like you said, landing that new job or connecting others and putting them in touch with a new potential employer. There are just so many aspects of networking that are hard to quantify that might end up benefiting you down the road.
And I think if I had to pick my favorite angle that Jordan took in what he mentioned to us, it was that networking is foundational and it's not a skill that we can seek to develop when we need it. You have to kind of be laying that foundation now when you don't need a job, when you're not on the lookout, because people can sense that in you if you are reaching out when you need something. And if you're in need, well, it's too late. In particular, the reference that he gave, to dig the well before you're thirsty.
Yeah, that's an amazing illustration, right?
Right. Yeah, it just clicks, right? Oh, yeah, of course. The well needs to be dug before I'm thirsty, because if I'm thirsty, I'm going to die of thirst with a shovel in my hand, right? And so laying that foundation of relationships in your career, creating that network, that spider web of people that you know and that know you right now while you're happy in your job, that is one of the massive keys to being a good networker.
Yeah, Joe, so an example of networking early on, right? I mentioned earlier sort of the small business and how we kind of, Kate and I networked early on. Well, when it came to photography, man, we did a lot of that on the front end and I kind of forgot about it until the time came when I needed additional photographers. Kate was stepping out of the business to raise our family, to raise our girls, and having a short list of folks that I could kind of get back in touch with and say, hey, are you willing to shoot for me? You know, are you willing to work under sort of my banner? And having that list was amazing. It took a lot of the stress, I know specifically off of Kate, to not have to worry, you know, that she was sort of letting me down by stepping out of the business. She knew that we had these folks lined up. They're good relationships that we had developed, and they're folks that we trusted as well because we had worked together. But that's an example for us specifically, how we already had that well, maybe partially dug, right? Like we had started digging. It was there ready for the last few scoops when we knew the time was coming. And so for us, that's just a small example of how networking allowed me to continue to further the business.
Yeah, Matt, for me, I've been at the same job for 12 years, which is pretty abnormal, I feel like, in this day and age. And I love what I do. But for me, this networking thing, like we said at the beginning of the show, for me, it kind of comes naturally. But I also know that if something did come up, or if there was a change at my work and things started to kind of suck, then I could totally call on this network of friendships that I have. And maybe it would mean transitioning into a different industry. Who knows? But even though I am in what I consider to be like the perfect job for me, I still feel like I have this solid network that I kind of have this well dug, and I have these friendships. And not only has that network been just like a joy to create really for me, it's also nice to know that they are there for me in case something does happen.
Yeah, man, I love that you said that it's a joy to kind of participate in that networking, right? Because this is foundational. But what's also foundational is that like at the beginning, when you first meet somebody, it's just good to be like a good, proper human being, right?
Yeah, I think networking can easily be pigeonholed as this thing where you have to be a swarmy, schmoozy weirdo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Like you want to be able to provide value to those people from the start, like from the get-go, not just sort of like a leech where you're just looking for whatever you can get for yourself. People are interesting having that curiosity. It's just a part of being a normal human.
I think sometimes we put networking on this pedestal and we make it seem like it's this super scary thing. You have to go to special networking events in order to do it.
Mixers.
Right. And some of those, I got to be honest, can be totally awkward.
Whatever, man. You make them awkward because you're just like chowing down on all the free food.
Well, I'm never going to pass up free food, right? But yeah, some of those mixers can be awkward. I completely understand that. And I know that some of those can be helpful when you're trying to build your network. But at the same time, there are so many other ways to build a network. And we're definitely going to get into those just a little bit further on down. But just know that at the heart of it, networking is incredibly similar to just making new friends.
Friends, yeah, man. I'm glad you brought that up. So I actually kind of disagree just slightly, right? Because he mentioned how, you know, networking is kind of fundamentally, you know, the same as making new friends. I agree with that from the standpoint of the mechanics of it, right? Like you are still engaging with folks, you're being interested, but like at the core of it, I feel like it is a little bit different because a business is more transactional, right? Like you give something and you receive something. It's a transaction. Like there's no question as to what happens. Whereas like typically in friendships, it's a little grayer, right? It's a little fuzzier. And there should be more sort of generosity and less accounting that takes place. And so I know it's a little bit fuzzy because a lot of networking does actually involve real relationships and friendships. But I think we have to be a little bit careful in how, not how we view networking, but how we view our friendships, right? If some of those sort of business tactics and ideas start trickling their way a little bit into our personal lives, I think that may not bode as well for our personal interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Matt. I don't think Jordan is advocating that you help Jim, who you met at a networking mixer, to move across town or to babysit his kids, anything like that, right? Like those certainly are our friendship moves, and we're talking about networking here. But I think what he's getting at, and you bring up this point well, is that those mechanics, though, of humanity and genuinely being interested in another person and finding out what makes them tick, that is a huge part of networking well. If you can create a curiosity inside of yourself about other human beings, that's just going to make you naturally more effective when it comes to networking.
Exactly. Yeah, man, I totally agree. The mechanics, that's it. The mechanics are the same, but you know, when it comes to business and relationships, the motives are or can be different. In relationships, there's more of a heart because, yeah, you're hopefully being more generous. But in business, it is a little more transactional because that's, you know, that's how business and that's how the economy works.
So let's get to a couple of specific takeaways that Jordan offered us. I think the suggestion to create a layoff lifeline is super helpful. If you can make that list of 10 to 15 people that you would want to reach out to if you were to lose your job, making those 10 to 15 relationships a higher priority is a good idea. And investing in those relationships now, like Jordan said, digging the well before you're thirsty, doing that in particular with those most important relationships, I think is a great idea.
Yeah. And again, though, you know, you can't make these networking relationships work without actually being real and helpful. I think a good way to look at it is that your goal should be to provide value to others now, knowing that maybe sort of down the road, you might be receiving value, right? There necessarily shouldn't be an expectation, but that's the goal with networking, is that hopefully things will work out and this will benefit you down the road.
So Matt, I feel like we just covered some really important kind of high level thoughts on networking, but we got to get to the practical examples and takeaways, and we'll do that right after the break. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Let's go ahead now and dive into some of these practical tips and things that you can do on a day-to-day basis to make networking more a part of your life. And one of the things that Jordan mentioned was that how consistency is key. You know, he talked about how every day he spends 4 minutes, he scrolls down to the bottom of his text messages. I love that because I think it's brilliant because it's a system and it's something that he doesn't have to think about every day. Like, how am I going to reach out to folks? He knows this is how I'm going to do it.
It's easily repeatable.
Yeah, exactly. And he said how basically you do that thing and you'll be in the top like 1% of folks that are networking. You'll be a networking hero. Just the act of following up after meeting someone, even if it's like a year or two later, will put you in that upper echelon of networkers. It doesn't take much to stand out.
Personally, Matt, I love sending an email the day after I've had an interesting meeting with somebody.
It's because you're an extrovert.
That's right. That's part of it. But it almost solidifies that meeting meant something. And I feel like it makes an indelible mark in the person's brain that I'm sending the email to. And you know, something else, Matt, that just struck me from my past was that when I was applying for jobs one summer, when I was like 17 years old, what I would do after turning in my resume to the local place, probably like Home Depot or a drugstore, because I did work as a photo technician in a drugstore.
Yeah, I know about that.
Awesome job. Loved it. What I would do is after I would turn in my resume, I would go back a couple days later and I would seek out the manager. I would talk to them, shake their hand and say, hey, I'm really interested in working here. Just wanted to let you know that I dropped my resume off and I totally love to work here at some point. Right. And so I would do that with each one of these potential jobs. And just so many people that I knew turned in the resume or the application with their name and phone number on it, but they didn't make any sort of memorable, long-lasting impression. Those resumes or applications are quickly and easily forgotten, right? But your face, much, much less so. So I feel like networking has a lot of similarities to that. If you can pop up an email after a meeting, it makes you just so much harder to forget.
Nice, man. I love that. I love how you were a go-getter back when you were a youngster. It sounds like Jordan was like that as well, right? Like he's this high octane kind of go-getter person. And I'm not quite as much, right? Like I hear that and I think, gosh, that is so many freaking people. But I think that's important to kind of have that balance, right? Like if you are messaging 5 people every morning, right? Say for a month, I mean, that's 150 people in 1 month. And what I think is important to keep in mind is that, sure, you know, hopefully you'll be top of mind and you can kind of strike up a conversation. But keep in mind, too, that it's a two-way street, right? And so if you're sort of reaching out and opening this line of communication again to them, I think you need to make sure that you are willing and able yourself to provide value to that person when they are reaching out to you. Because, again, the idea is to provide value to others and to help others and to be genuine in your interactions, not just trying to find out how it can benefit you. So that, for me, is kind of overwhelming because I think about these sort of more long-term implications because maybe I'm a pessimist slightly. And I think, oh man, that could become a full-time job for me if I were to sort of open those floodgates and actually start reaching out to that many folks. And so maybe in my case, it might be like one person, like a week. Like four or five people in a single month might be what I can handle these days with the kiddos and the business and just the other things I have going on and the things that I want to pursue right now.
Yeah, I feel like you can adapt Jordan's methodology to kind of whatever suits your lifestyle, and you can figure out exactly how much of it is going to be possible for you. And so I think 4 to 5 people a day, 150 people a month, it sounds like a lot to me too. That's not how I do it. I don't scroll to the bottom of my phone and send out text messages. I love that Jordan has a system and that works for him. For me, it is much less like that. And honestly, it's much less organized. So I don't even have something I'm doing every day for sure. But I think it's a helpful way to at least start thinking about it,
yeah,
to make it top of mind. And maybe either seek to do one a day or seek to set aside 20 or 30 minutes a week to dedicated networking time where you send off an email to someone that you've had a coffee date with or even just someone in your industry that you've never met. And I think one way, Matt, to do this is a LinkedIn message with someone in your industry that you think is interesting or has posted an article that's meaningful. A Twitter comment even can be a meaningful way to engage someone in a networking type fashion. You want to make sure it's an honest interaction where you're commenting on something that they have mentioned, or you can send a message to someone if you saw them quoted in an article. I think those are ways to even use something like as weird as social media as it can be at times to network effectively.
Dude, I love that. That's a perfect way to take something that can be as awkward and impersonal as social media and just cement it to make it a lot more real and certainly beneficial when it comes to networking. But also, don't forget face-to-face, right? In real life. So imagine if you're trying to succeed in real estate, there's just different local real estate meetups that you can attend. And so make sure that you are showing up at these meetings. And if there's an investor there who's crushing it, like that's the investor you want to learn from. Like get to know him or get to know her. Like they're the ones that you want to connect with to provide value to them. But then ultimately, like there's going to be so much that you're going to be able to learn from them.
So basically, if Chad Carson, one of our recent money pros, if he's at your local real estate meetup, he's the guy you want to offer to help out, right?
Well, what's crazy is that's what he did when he first started out fresh out of undergrad. That's exactly what he did. He was I heard him describe it once as a bird dog.
He's from South Carolina. That's the kind of terminology they use there.
Hunting. But he would go out and he did the scouting and he was the one that was knocking on doors and he was kind of doing that legwork. He was doing the grunt work.
And he learned a lot working for other real estate investing pros and did kind of that grunt work that they were unwilling to do, right? And in that process of kind of volunteering his time and his effort, he built his network and his skills.
You just mentioned volunteering, man. I know you love those habitat builds.
Yes. I think kind of an unconventional approach to networking would be to volunteer in your community. That seems like something that you're doing, you know, purely just to help other people. And that's obviously a great reason to do it. I love the idea of volunteering in your community just to help others. But at the same time, the kind of people that you'll be working alongside with, let's say at something like a Habitat for Humanity build, you're going to meet interesting folks in different lines of work. And the sort of connection that you can build with someone while working alongside them to better your community and maybe grabbing a beer afterwards or something, finding out what they do. You could meet some really interesting people that could definitely further your network just by getting involved in service projects.
That's right, man. And also keep in mind that you don't get it if you don't ask for it. Don't forget that your close relationships, the friendships that you already have, they can be a great network for you. You know, just mentioning something to either friends or family, and even neighbors as well, that you're on the lookout for something, that right there, it can cause them to, you know, keep an ear out, make a phone call for you, or even put you in touch with someone on your behalf.
Yeah, Matt, those people in your life, they're not going to be looking out for opportunities for you that they don't know that you're interested in. And so just mentioning it, just bringing it up in front of them in a casual way can create more opportunities for you by other people keeping their eyes peeled.
Essentially, what we're saying is just to have real conversations, right? And it almost sounds weird to say, hey, this is how you have a real conversation. But just like we've talked about before, how we don't talk about some of the most important things that direct our lives, like our money. How money needs to be something that we talk about more. We naturally shy away from that. I think a lot of times we shy away from our ambitions and the things that we are excited about and that we are trying to pursue because maybe we're afraid of lots of things like failure, or we're not sure if other folks would, you know, maybe be into that. But having these real conversations, man, is just so vitally important.
Completely. I think in networking, you'll find that just like yourself, just like you in all likelihood want to be of service to other people, the people that you meet and interact with, typically, man, they want to be of service to you at the same time. But when it comes down to it, you can't put a price tag on these relationships. You will grow and learn as you develop networking as a skill in your own life. And those relationships that you build, they're going to pay dividends when it comes to potential opportunities. Just like money that you invest in stocks, right, that we've talked about. We've talked about the compounding effect of money, that investing early and often will lead to a great deal of wealth in retirement. Well, the same thing is true with networking. If you kind of start early and often, it will have a compounding effect that will have major ramifications on your career and in all likelihood, the amount of money that you're going to end up making as well.
And also, man, we need to be bold, right? Like, let's aim high. I don't think we need to feel ashamed to reach out to people that we look up to. Like we mentioned before, you see somebody mentioned in an article, or maybe they've just published something recently that you think is totally awesome. Reach out. You might be surprised at the response that you get. And before you know it, you might have a great relationship there.
Yeah, just some kind words or a compliment go a long way in starting a potential friendship or networking relationship.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you are more introverted, maybe you are more isolated in your work or your career path, hopefully this episode has been able to give you some encouragement to step outside of your comfort zone, maybe to stretch you a little bit and to do that hard work.
Yeah, and it feels like more work than it does for other people, right? Because for me, it's kind of all fun and games, right?
But for me, I would have to be a bit more organized. Like you talked about how you aren't nearly as organized as Jordan is as far as like taking a certain number of minutes every morning. But I hear that and I think, oh man, that's how you do it. Like that's a way for me to wrap my head around, okay, I'm going to limit this. I'm going to only give this a set amount of time. And for me, that's like a bite-sized way that I can kind of start the ball rolling and shake off the rust in order to start moving in the direction of being a better networked person.
All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer that we were drinking today, and it's Revolver Brewing Blood and Honey American Ale. I don't even think I've ever heard of a beer called an American Ale before, so this is like a new style for me. But
I feel like it's more of an old school name, like American Amber or American Ale.
It's like a piece of Americana that we're drinking. I like it.
I tasted this before I read the label, but I totally thought that this resonated as a Christmas beer or like a holiday sort of winter ale. And I was reading the label, man, and it's got, it says finished with blood orange peel, Texas honey, and a blend of spices. Those spices are exactly what I've had in some different winter ales. It gives it just like this sort of clovey pepperiness that it's warming. It's still cold enough here. And so this is a nice winter warmer in a sense for me.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. To me, it tasted like, yeah, mixing clove and maybe like a honeysuckle. It had a touch of sweetness, but those interesting spices kind of to balance it out. This was a unique beer with some really interesting flavors mixed together. And so big thanks to our listener, Jake in Texas, for sending this beer our way.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Man, speaking of listener mail from faraway lands, I want to say a quick thank you to Hunter. He sent us a sweet care package, man, all the way from Japan. He is stationed over there and is a listener. I just want to thank you, Hunter. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Hunter serves in the armed forces. And so we want to say thank you for your service. And thanks for the goodies too, man. One of the things in the care package was these little poo-poo eraser heads that my girls are going to get a kick out of, for sure.
The girls are really into poop these days.
All right, Matt, let's get to our final thoughts on networking to make more money. And we had our money pro, Jordan Harbinger, on today. And one of the first things he mentioned was that networking is not an optional skill. And I think most of us think of networking as a thing of last resort or something that we maybe don't even have to partake in at all. And I think we learned today that that's just not true.
Yeah, man, I love that. He said that it's not something you do, you know, once you finally finish updating your website, because that never gets done. And he also said how networking isn't being the annoying sales guy that's always kind of flashing the business card. The mechanics of it can be as straightforward and honest as meeting new friends, right? Have fun with it. Be genuine and find ways that you can help other people.
Yeah, and if you want to build a network that's going to be meaningful for you over the years and help you potentially make more money, consistency is key. You might not need to do exactly what Jordan does, and Matt and I don't approach it in that way, where we reach out to four or five people every single day. I don't even know if I know quite that many people, but I love that Jordan's got that big of a network. But for us, consistency is key. And so engaging in networking on a regular basis is really important and makes you a networking hero that stands head and shoulders above your peers.
And the last point that stood out, man, is that you have to dig the well before you're thirsty. It's sort of like retirement investing. You have to start now. It's not something that you can catch up on. And you want to make sure you have that well dug before you need that water. You want to make sure you have that network, those contacts, those friendships in place so that you can help them long before you need them to help you.
So if you found this discussion about networking interesting and you want to learn more, man, take Jordan's course. You can go to his website, jordanharbinger.com/level1. And you can dig into this topic even more with Jordan's wisdom for free.
So I think that's going to be it for this show. You can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, if you like this podcast and this episode was meaningful to you, we'd appreciate it if you'd leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you felt like the show was lacking in any way, you can go to howtomoney.com/do better. And we'd love to field some of your constructive criticism there.
That's right, man. We're always trying to do better. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.